Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right. High noon in the District of Columbia. However hype we think we are on a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday, it's not as hype as our guy Chase Hughes is out in Vegas. So I'm gonna pull back the curtain here. Chase and I have been friends a long time. We've worked together a long time. I follow Chase on Instagram, not for work purposes, just because he's my friend. And I'm looking at it this morning, at his stories, and I realize, look, we're going to talk plenty about Sarver's Risache. But you got to go to the Sphere last night and see Dead & Company. How was it?
It was unbelievable. I'm not going to lie. Like, obviously, people have probably seen the videos of how big the screen is, and maybe you've read a little bit about how immersive the experience is. But it was absolutely incredible. Like, for instance, you know, there was one point where we were, like, essentially traveling through space, like, on the big screen. And it felt like it looked like you were on a spaceship, like, going through space. And I'll tell you this. I have a TV show to do today, so I did not have a single sip of alcohol last night. I was completely sober, and it was like
there's a big difference between no alcohol and completely sober.
Well, I'll also tell you this: I might have been the only sober person in the house because as amazing as the venue was, it was the sloppiest concert I've ever been to in my life. I've probably been to at least like 50 concerts. I've seen some pretty big shows. I've never been to one where people were like throwing up in my row, in the aisle, like in the hallways.
Really?
Like I had to clean my shoes when I got back to my hotel.
Wow.
And it's funny because it's this like futuristic, state-of-the-art, like arena of the future, but it's still Vegas.
Well, dude, that's funny because so when I was at the Super Bowl, I saw you too at the Sphere. And I agree with you, like the production quality, the big screens, the audio, acoustics, all that is just outrageous. And I was not sober, but I wasn't barfing or anything. I just had some drinks. I said to my buddy Ahmet when we were there, because the next couple of big acts they had signed were Phish did that short run and then the Dead. And those are jam bands where people are usually pretty banged up at the concerts. And I was like, people got to be careful, man, because this, the visuals of this motivate you in such a way that you're like on another planet. And then when you add, you know, some substances to that, it could get pretty dicey.
Yeah, it was very disorienting. I will give everyone out there a pro tip. Be careful which seat you buy, because there are some obstructed views. Like, basically, you kind of have to choose between whether you want to see the stage really well or see the screen, unless you pay the big bucks. And I've had some success previously getting the quote-unquote obstructed view seats. I take my wife to see the Nutcracker every year. And if you go, I think it's at the Warner Theater, and get the quote-unquote obstructed view, you can get great seats from like 10 rows back, where like 5% of the view is obstructed. But in this case, a lot more than that I could not see.
Landfill, quick ruling on Chase bragging about getting real cheap seats for he and his wife to go see the Nutcracker.
Lame.
I think you better hope she's not listening. That, as somebody that says a lot of dumb stuff.
You don't tell them, and I mean, no one would know the difference.
That's true. That's true. I'm talking with our friend Chase Hughes here on the BetQL guest line. Sports betting has come to the DMV. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. All right, you can follow Chase at ChaseDCSports. That's the Instagram too, right? Is it the same thing?
And TikTok. I followed you to TikTok.
Oh, my man. I don't think I've posted a TikTok in some time, but I did have a little period where I tried. Shout out to TikTok. The game tonight has major juice, and I'm a Wiz fan. The Wizards Bullets have been my team for some time. I just acquired a Bullets Calbert Chaney jersey, which I'm very excited to break out at some point. But this game has national intrigue. You got the number one pick against the number two. What's the vibe out there? How excited are they out there? Are they trying to keep things calm? Take us to Vegas.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement. Tonight is opening night. First, we'll have
Is it
Bronny.
Opening night for the whole league? For the whole
it,
summer
it
league?
It is, yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
The Lakers with Bronny James will play right before the Wizards and the Hawks. So it'll be a packed house. It always is when the Lakers play in Vegas, because it's so close to L.A. And because the Wizards got the second overall pick, they get primetime billing. You see this every year where the first and second overall pick go at it on opening night. And in this case, it's two guys who are from France. They're good friends playing on the national team for several summers in a row. And the Wizards don't only have Alex Starr. They've got two other first-round picks, Bub Carrington and Keyshawn George. And on top of that, of the 15 players on their Summer League roster, 9 of them have NBA experience. So I think the Wizards Summer League team could be pretty good. And in the case of tonight, Alex Starr is going up against the Hawks team that has no one on their roster that compares to him in terms of his size and athleticism. So I think the door is open for him to have a big debut.
What time is this game, East Coast? I know we can watch it on Monumental. What time is it, though?
It's at 9:30 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, that's perfect.
And we'll have a preview show on the Monumental Sports Network app at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, cool. 9:30 is perfect. I should be home from this swim meet, if the swim meet even happens. Perfect. Dude, for a while there, it seemed like Sar was going to go one and the Wiz were going to get Reese Sachet. When did that switch and why?
Yeah, as of the NBA draft combine, I thought Alex Starr would be the number one pick, because he had a monster showing in Chicago, measured in at 7 feet with a 38-inch vertical leap, which is like extremely rare for a player his size. But then Zachary Risacher continued to play in France, and the Hawks went over and watched him, and he just leveled up and had some big-time games in the playoffs in the league that he was playing in. And then he measured at the combine and came in at like 6'8", which is huge for his skill set. So I think it was really close. And obviously the Atlanta Hawks were in an interesting position trying to figure out who could complement Trae Young. And I think it was really splitting hairs this year, when a lot of other years, of course, you kind of know who the number one pick is going to be before the college basketball season even begins. In this case, it was really close, and the Wizards are really happy that Alex Starr fell to them.
Yeah, I mean, I am too. I've been watching – I mean, it's just highlights, but a guy with that size and that, I mean, his ball handling ability and his shooting touch, the video you posted the other day, where was that, where he was just draining quarter threes?
Yeah, that was at the Wizards practice facility. They held a practice right before they got on the plane to go to Las Vegas. And it's not just the shooting, it's the ball handling. And it's going to be pretty amazing to watch him in the Las Vegas Summer League, because we were talking to their head coach, Cody Toppert, who coaches the Go-Go during the regular season. And he was saying that they're basically going to have Alex Starr do every possible role on offense. He's a seven-footer, but he's going to be coming off screens, taking catch-and-shoot jumpers. He's going to be screening and rolling like a traditional big man, but also stepping out and taking threes, and also being the ball handler in pick-and-roll actions, which you don't see very often. Like, I was looking at tracking data over the last 4 or 5 years, and Kristaps Porzingis, for instance, is, you know, the unicorn. He only did that 13 times in the 2 years that he played for the Wizards. You don't often see a seven-footer essentially operate as a point guard, but we're going to see that with Alex Starr.
That's crazy, man. I'm excited. Tell me a little more about the two other first-rounders we get to see tonight. The kid from Pitt that's supposed to be the good shooter, Carrington. What made them – I mean, to give up Denny is a pretty big deal, and they traded Denny away basically to draft this kid Carrington, right?
Yeah, I think they really, really wanted to get Bub Carrington. Of course, they entered the draft with two first-round picks, second overall, and then one at the very end of the draft. And Bub Carrington was expected to go late lottery, so they had to make a move to get him. And he was the best local player in the draft. He is from Baltimore, went to Pitt, is only 18 years old, and was arguably the best player in college basketball last year at shooting off the dribble and creating off the dribble. Especially if you incorporate just the volume of shots that he took off the dribble. He's really, really good at that. And that's an advanced skill for his age. He's also 6'4", without shoes as a point guard, which is very big. I think he's going to play some one and the two. But basically, he's a guy who's got a really advanced skill set as a ball handler. And he's a local guy, so I think he'll be easy to root for.
I just looked him up. I guess his real name, his government name is Carlton. Because of what happened in Fresh Prince of Bel Air, I understand not going by Carlton. I am pro dudes named Bub. I have a friend, Bub Minturn. Is he a shooter or a creator? Like, tell me his game. I'm looking up 14 points a game, 5 boards, 4 assists in a year at Pitt.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a creator who can fill up the stat sheet. He had a triple-double in his college debut. At Pitt, and that was following up a triple-double in a game to win the championship in high school at St. Francis in Baltimore. And you mentioned the 5 rebounds, 4 assists. You don't often see that from a freshman player, especially a guy who ended up being one of the youngest players in the draft. So he's a pretty good shooter. He shot 32% from three last year, and if you look at the last third of the season that he played at Pitt, he was a 40% shooter from three. So they really like his upside in that regard. But it's really about his ability to create his own shot off the dribble, get space, and pull up from anywhere that the Wizards really, really liked, because oftentimes young players aren't at the stage that he's at in that regard, and they have to develop it over time.
And he's playing tonight, right?
Yeah, and okay. He's got a great matchup, I think, against the Atlanta Hawks, because they have Kobe Bufkin, who played at Michigan 2 years ago and was a lottery pick last summer. And as draft prospects, I think they're pretty similar. Bufkin didn't have a great rookie year because he got injured. He broke his hand. But him and Carrington are kind of similar, so I think it'll be an interesting matchup.
And tell me about the third first-rounder.
Yeah, his name is Keyshawn George. He's originally from Switzerland, went to high school in France, and had a huge growth spurt. So did Bub Carrington. Both of those guys grew like 8 inches from their sophomore year of high school. And, you know, when he signed to play at Miami with Jim Larrañaga, he was like 6'4 and grew to 6'7 over the summer. So he's a really, really good shooter, a late bloomer who shot 41% from three last year at Miami. Took about 2/3 of his shots from 3-point range. He's a really good catch and shoot player from the outside. So I would look for the 3-point shooting to translate right away in the summer league. And he might have an interesting matchup tonight because he plays on the wing. And I would expect him to guard Zachary Risacher, the number one pick, at least some tonight's game.
Who's coaching the Wiz in this? It's not Keith, is it?
No, it's his name is Cody Toppert. He coached the Capital City Go-Go last year, was a college player, played overseas. And the Wizards Summer League roster has a lot of guys that played under him last year on the Capital City Go-Go. And I think that's going to be interesting to watch because usually when you watch Summer League games, it's a bunch of guys who just met each other and have no chemistry at all. They've got a lot of players who played for the Go-Go last year under Coach Toppert, so I think it could lend itself to a level of continuity and chemistry and maybe even structure that you don't often see in the summer league, which is very often just a free-for-all where guys are going out there knowing it's their best opportunity to impress NBA GMs and just end up chucking shots and not passing to each other.
Lanville, he's not going to say it because he's a gentleman and a man of class. I think Chase is telling us to lay the points with the Wiz tonight. That's kind of what I'm hearing, but I'm just thinking out loud. Dude, so we got, I mean, three first-rounders, and the kid, Kyshawn, is a, what do you go, like 26 or something, 24?
24th.
All three of these dudes, especially Carrington, because Denny, for whatever he is or isn't, is a guy that could fill it up in the pros. Like, he's an established pro. So if you're moving on from Denny, you take the one kid at two, Carrington, and then this guy, like, these are legit parts of what this organization is supposed to look like by, hopefully it's 26, right?
Yeah, and this was an important draft for the Wizards to get it right. And obviously a lot of people have said many things about this draft class not being as good as other years. And I think that was more so about at the top, especially a year that followed when Victor Wembanyama was the number one overall pick. So I think the Wizards tried to just get more bites at the apple. And three first-round picks in a draft where even if it isn't as good as the average NBA draft, you know, looking at the history of NBA drafts, there's probably going to be at least like three All-Stars and probably one or two Hall of Famers, because on average, that's what you see in drafts. Even the worst drafts, like 2013, for instance, is often given as an example of one of the worst drafts, but it still had Giannis, Antetokounmpo, and right. Rudy Gobert, two first ballot Hall of Famers. So I think the Wizards wanted to just take more shots at it, and the more picks they had, the higher the odds that they'll find someone who can make a real impact for them.
Well, dude, I mean, wasn't Joker a second rounder? Wasn't Gilbert Arenas a second round? Like, the people that perpetuate good drafts versus bad drafts are the people that have been fired, Ernie and Tommy, in that, like, oh, we can't do much with this draft, so we might just keep winning 25 games a year. Like, if you are – one thing I love about the Wiz have done is that, like, I never heard Will Dawkins talk about a bad draft. I feel like he said the opposite. He's like, yeah, we're going to find us a player. Like, our job is to find the player. There's players in every draft. And I just think that's the right mindset. And I think it's going to be a while. Like, I'm cognizant of how long it's going to take, but I'm cool with the track that they're on. Bilal, we're talking with our friend Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports. You can follow him at Chase DC Sports. He's out in Vegas for Wizards Summer League. This game tonight should be awesome. You can catch Chase. There's a pregame show at 6 o'clock on Monumental. Who is it, you, Wes, and Chris?
Yep.
That'll be awesome. I'll be watching that. I might have to DVR it depending on the swim meet, just going to be honest with you. But I do not care about watching Bronny because I'm going to lock in for Wiz Hawks at 9:30. So I will watch that pregame show. Bilal is in France playing for the Olympic team, correct?
Yeah, so he...
How do we feel about that?
I think you have to feel pretty good. I think you have to feel good for him, first of all, on a personal level.
Sure.
Because this was a lifelong dream. I mean, not only are you making the Olympic team at 19 years old, but you're playing for Team France in the Olympics, which are held in Paris, which is where he grew up.
Sure.
And he's going to be playing with his longtime best friend, Victor Wembanyama, and this is something that he really wanted to achieve, and he was able to do it. I think he's going to play a pretty important role on Team France. So I think Wizards fans should probably feel pretty good about that because, you know, if they go up against Team USA, he might be guarding, you know, Anthony Edwards or Devin Booker or whoever the top scorer is going to be at his position. He's going to take on some really tough defensive assignments late in games with really high stakes, with a lot of people watching, with his country behind him. So I think either way, you know, if he didn't make Team France and he came to the Summer League, it would have been a great development opportunity. But the high stakes, high pressure situations he's going to encounter playing for Team France wouldn't be replicated in the Summer League and might not be something that the Wizards see for a couple of years. So I think it's going to be a great opportunity for him to level up in that regard.
I agree with that. I'm looking at the roster, right? And I'm trying to play out, by the time we get to 26, where hopefully there's playoffs on the horizon, who's a part of this? And, I forgot they got Malcolm Brogdon in the draft trade. But Koulibaly, the guy Kyshawn they just drafted, I don't know what happens with Kuz, but Sarr. I like the dude Vukcevic, and I'm surprised they were able to still get him on a two-way.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of depth at his position now. You know, last year he played 10 games and he played pretty well, but then they drafted Alex Saar, who's, you know, obviously plays a similar position. And then they signed Jonas Valanciunas in free agency, and they still have Rashawn Holmes and Marvin Bagley III. So I think a two-way deal is where they felt was a natural fit. And it's going to be interesting to watch him in this summer league because he was pretty good last year. But,
dude, late in the season when we were doing those alt casts, he was just always making plays. Needs to get tougher, though, for sure.
Yeah, he's tall, but he needs to gain some muscle and play a little bit more physical on defense. That's what their summer league coach, Cody Toppert, said the other day. And so I think that's what you know, fans should probably be watching for in Vegas this time around. But he's definitely one of their top prospects and definitely a big part of their future at this point. And we'll see how much he's grown year over year.
Were you surprised they didn't trade Kuz? There was so much talk about him going to Sacramento, I think.
I wouldn't say I was surprised, just because you go back to February and they kind of walked down this road with him.
That's true.
Where, you know, it was reported publicly and they spoke on the record about it that, you know, they could have potentially moved him to Dallas, and both sides kind of agreed that they wanted to, you know, stick in it together. So obviously things can change very quickly in the NBA, but given that happened pretty recently, it would have been a pretty big and quick change of heart. So we'll see what happens moving forward, but especially now that Denny Avdija was traded, like, Kyle Kuzma's role as their starting power forward seems to be pretty safe.
Yeah,
good point. So, you know, you never know. Things can happen, but I think now that Denny's gone, Kyle Kuzma's future with the team's probably more secure.
Jordan Poole and I both weigh 194 pounds, except he's 6'4", and I'm maybe 6 foot. He also
makes both go by JP.
How about that? He, though, makes $28 million a year. God bless America. Chase, I'll be watching tonight, man. Enjoy the game. Can't wait to see all the coverage on Monumental. Thanks for the time, bro.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's our guy, Chase Hughes. Give him a follow at Chase DC Sports. Make sure you tune in tonight. Saar versus Reese Ache. I can't wait. We're talking soccer.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan, getting visited by the Vegas boys. Going to be a hell of an afternoon, folks. Trust me on that. Right now, though, we got some soccer to talk. And I've been watching the Euros and the Copa. I've been watching the Euros because I enjoy the soccer. I've been watching the Copa because I bet on it, and the soccer's kind of rough to watch. And the U.S. just got smoked, which really kind of made the Copa a lot less fun. Helping us make sense of all of it is our friend Jeff Reuter from The Athletic. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us, man. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Dude, I don't know how this works, but when you are a soccer writer and you have two gigantic tournaments, one's here in the U.S., but one's in Europe, where are you? Like, where are you physically?
Physically, right now, I am in St. Paul, Minnesota, which is home base for me.
Okay.
The beauty of a publication like The Athletic is that we do have a full European branch that's based out of London. So
right.
A lot of them have been doing the hard yards on the Euros, and then we've been kind of leading the charge in terms of the Copa America with some other people kind of coming and going both directions. So, yeah, it's been a bit of everything here, but it's been a great summer. And I mean, like you said, the tournaments have both been really good, really interesting, not from a U.S. perspective, but from a neutral one. So lots to talk about.
Yeah, the good one is in Europe, and it's just been, I mean, these games have been incredible. The Spain-France game was incredible. The England-Dutch game was incredible. The interesting one is Copa. I maybe never paid this much attention or was unaware, but, like, the difference in the soccer is striking. Has Copa always been a street fight, dude?
I mean, that's one variation of it. I think that, I mean, Copa's always been an emotional tournament. I think that usually it doesn't involve North America, right? Usually it obviously isn't played in the United States. It's the 10 national teams from South America. And just given the geographic congestion of the continent, every single team is a rival with every other team.
Right.
So you don't get these games where it's just like, just to pick on random ones, like Portugal, Slovenia. It's like, okay, there might be some good players on both teams, but it's not like they have, like, you know, they grew up disliking
sure.
the other country, right? It's like
right.
an entire tournament of England playing Scotland. So
right.
you do get, you know, a very different flavor with the Copa America. It can get chippy. I mean, the standard of officiating of the domestic leagues in South America might be more permissible to the kinds of fouls that'll draw yellow cards in Europe. So, different flavors for different appetites.
For sure. And it seemed like, at least just in watching the coverage, which I think the coverage has been really good, the television coverage, but it seemed like in watching a lot of the coverage that a lot of the South American players stay in South America. And certainly there is that top maybe 10-15% that make it to Europe or whatever. But it seems like there's probably a lot more repeat, clashes with these guys than maybe we see in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on, the country you're talking about. I mean, you look at Bolivia, the first opponent, the one opponent that the United States beat in the tournament, and most
right.
of those players are playing on the continent, right? And so they're playing, you know, a big move for them might be going to Ecuador, right? But when you get to
right.
Argentina or Brazil or Colombia or Uruguay, Venezuela, these are national teams where you have most of the rosters who are playing in Europe. But even then, I mean, you might have a case where, Lionel Messi is obviously he's in Major League Soccer right now, but he's going to be Barcelona until he dies, right? And
right.
any player he comes against who plays for Real Madrid, it's just going to carry sort of a different chip on the shoulder. If Neymar was healthy, right, he'd be in former teammates at PSG. So, yeah, that kind of relationship between club and international soccer always actually makes the international tournaments more interesting from my perspective, at least.
For sure. So we know the finals matchups now, right? We got Argentina, Colombia.
Yeah.
We'll start there. Hard to pick against Messi at this point, right?
Yes. Yeah, my pre-tournament pick was Argentina over Brazil, so I can't really break from my own expectation there. I mean, like, look, both teams have been very, very good. I think if you're looking for a parallel here with the Euros, you actually kind of have similar profiles of teams in both. Colombia is kind of playing the role of Spain here, where they've just been playing some very, very pretty soccer. They've been doing a lot of really fun stuff with the ball. They're trying to score goals. They've got young players coming through. They've also got some veterans that you know, are having the tournament of their lives. And so I think Colombia enters and making the final is an achievement, but they also do have the quality where you would probably look and say they've been the best team of the tournament. But then Argentina is a bit like England, where they have the more famous players. They have the best player of the two, you know, in this case, Lionel Messi, and the other one, Jude Bellingham, maybe Harry Kane on his day. And so I think that you would look at Argentina and still say that they're the favorite, but they also enter with the pressures of expectation, right? They're the defending World Cup champion. They're the defending Copa America champion in 2021. So this is their title to retain. And so is it going to be a matter of them wanting to cap an all-time great run with a performance for the ages, or are they just going to be pragmatists looking for a win, right? So should be an interesting game. I think that this is probably the best soccer matchup that you could have gotten from this bracket if you look at all the teams involved. And yeah, should make for a great final.
Talking with our friend Jeff Reuter here on the BetQL guest line. You can follow Jeff at Jeff, J-E-F-F-R-U-E-T-E-R. So it sounds like we think Argentina is going to win. Let's go to the Euros. England versus Spain is a banger of a game. That young man that scored for Spain the other day, that's like 16 years old, I mean, that goal was just unbelievable. I think we all know the pressure that lands on the English team. What do you think happens in Berlin?
Yeah, I mean, Lamine Yamal has been just unbelievable at 16 years old. You know, it's shades of watching Lionel Messi at the 2006 World Cup when he was just you know, 16, 17 years old himself, and seeing, you know, the player with the shaggy hair and, you know, just very, very different to our lives when we were 16-year-old, my friend. But, you know, look, I think England is getting hot at the right time. I think that Gareth Southgate has been a very conservative manager tactically throughout his tenure with England. But then you get to the semifinal and he has to make some big changes, and, you know, he has to pull Harry Kane in the 79th minute with the game tied 1-1, looking like it could go to penalties, right? And he's their number one penalty taker. So big call there to bring in Ollie Watkins, immediately rewarded with a fantastic finish of his own. So I mean, it's really going to be a question of this is contractually the last Gareth Southgate tournament for England. He could, you know, be asked to come back on for another World Cup, but that's the decision they'll make after this tournament, and it's a decision he needs to make if he wants to go back to coaching the club. And so does he want to go out, you know, similarly with Argentina, right? What kind of legacy do you want to cast for yourself? And England has only won one major tournament ever, the 1966 World Cup. So this is a big opportunity for them. I think it's going to be one that he sees as a needed culmination for his project, where they're going to need to win. And so there you go again about a team playing with pressure versus Spain, who you know, was expected to be quarterfinal, semifinal contenders, you know, kind of a bit like what the Netherlands ended up doing, unfortunately. But I think that they wouldn't have been one of the favorites entering this tournament. So for them, too, like Colombia, it's the case where you have a collective that's been punching above their weight a little bit and a young rising group of players who's ready to establish themselves. And you happen to have the best defensive midfielder in the world with Rodri. So I think Rodri is going to be vital to neutralizing Jude Bellingham, who has struggled to make an impact in this tournament. And England's going to need to find a way to do it again without him.
I can't wait for both those games. Sunday is going to be crazy just with the amount of soccer there is to watch. But let's get to the disappointment here. We keep being told how good this U.S. team is, and they couldn't even get out of the group stage against a group that was pretty beatable. Now they got no coach. The dude from Liverpool doesn't want to come. What the hell happens next for U.S. men's soccer?
Yeah, I mean, they need to kind of figure out what they want to be, because you do have this generation of players. That's good. They're talented. They're getting opportunities. But I think when you look at the globalization of the sport, there's actually data that says that they might not be that much better than the team that made the 2002 quarterfinal, or, you know, looked promising to make runs in 2010 and 2014. So you know, so they need to take a little bit of humility with it and get back to work. But I think it ultimately, look, this program right now is probably, even after that, you would say that they're one of, let's say, 20th. I think that it's fair to say that's the 20th best men's national team program in the world. And that doesn't sell many shirts in America. There are a lot of very good athletes in America where if you're the 20th best at something, you often just get overlooked. Like, there just isn't enough limelight for you to take. So If they want to be something that's challenging for more, they need to do more. They need to improve player development at the youth levels. They need to hire better youth coaches to be able to get these players at a younger age. But then you also need to get this appointment right. And Jurgen Klopp looked like a very expensive Band-Aid, someone who would only be there for 2 years. Maybe he would be able to do great things, but he's never coached internationally before. And so he wouldn't get a transfer window. He wouldn't get to train with players every day. And those are nuances that some great coaches have really struggled to master as they work into international soccer. So it wasn't as much of a slam dunk as maybe some fans are convinced, in my opinion. Got a bit of a column about that. And also the fact that the U.S. Soccer Federation just needs to figure out what it wants to be. It needs to have a they've been a leadership group that has claimed they're data-driven, that they are, you know, reviewing studios and reviewing tape and talking to as many people as they can to make the most informed decisions possible rather than just making decisions off of emotion. And that's great, but it hasn't led to any improvement over what the previous iterations were doing. So the one
issue I have is I think kids soccer, like youth soccer, is such huge business in this country. I mean, there's elite travel soccer everywhere starting in fifth grade or probably even younger than that. And I don't think you're putting that, you know, Pandora back in that box because that's big business. And clearly it's not the right way to develop players to compete on a national scale. But I just think we're missing the boat if we think not enough kids are playing soccer, because I bet more kids play soccer than any other sport in the country.
Oh, yeah, I think so. And especially if you open it up and make it boys and girls, right? Like, right. I don't think it's even close. But you're right, man. Like, I mean, the reality is that those travel fees to get on the best teams possible, you know, that is a barrier of entry for a lot of families and for a lot of kids who can't get into the game to that same level as a result. And often also when you look at those youth teams and you really look at what's driving them, it's not player development. It's not with the U.S. men's and women's national team in mind. It's about winning their little individual tournaments locally. And I'm not saying little in the sense that they don't matter. Of course, they matter to the players and the coaches, but they don't matter in the grand scheme of like improving U.S. soccer. So if we're talking about this at a macro level, how are you moving player A or your best striker from point A to point B in their development if they have shown that they have that sort of interest or that sort of dedication to the sport where they want to get better in that sort of way? Where are you looking at and saying that, hey, this program, we won the regional tournament and that's great and all, but really look at the players who got better year over year where I feel like they're in a better spot rather than, well, here's our tallest kid, here's our fastest kid, they're going to be our attackers, they're going to run forward. And we're going to hide our less technical players in fullback and, you know, central midfield and kind of less glamorous spots maybe. And we're going to call it a day, right? I think it is still very much driven by winning, the ultimate American sports credo. And, you know, that does come at the cost of young player development, you know, of any age. Really, really does.
Hey, Jeff, this has been great, dude. I look forward to talking to you again maybe Monday if we can pull it off. I know you're going to have a busy weekend. So thanks very much for making time.
Good. Awesome. Looking forward to it.
All right, bro. That's our guy, Jeff Reuter from The Athletic. We're going to do a little bit of football. 1 o'clock, we're opening the phone lines up, and the Vegas boys come to town. Maybe we'll deal some blackjack. Nobody go anywhere. All right, guys. Anybody that knows me knows I love a good Scotty's Vodka Red Bull. They also know that I trust my guy, Jeff. And I'm not the biggest fisherman, but Jeff loves fishing. And Jeff put me on to this dude, Stephen Fultz. He runs the Has Life Fishing Instagram account. He's a local guy, has all these life hacks for fishing. He's got 380,000 followers on TikTok talking about fishing. Steve joins us now. Dude, thank you for joining us. Bring me up to speed on everything it is you do, because you are obviously immensely successful in this space.
Man, I kind of started like 5 years ago, 6 years ago into fishing. Didn't even fish, you know what I'm saying? Learn how to do it. Learning how to content create at the same time, but I found a joy, a happiness in it. You know what I'm saying? It fueled a fire, a passion. And I started seeing success and started getting feedback from people, how I'm inspiring them, getting them to get outside and go fishing. And that just kept me going more and more, you know, learning more and more, trying to figure the sport out, trying to learn these fish and, you know, really take over the sport in the DMV, especially DC. That's where I fish at most.
Yeah, it's crazy the platform you have. Like, I'm looking at some of these fish you're catching. They're bananas. Jeff loves your content. Did you ever think fishing would get you into this type of space where, just judging off these numbers and the little bit I know about Instagram and TikTok, this is probably much more than just a full-time job. This is a pretty nice living.
Yeah, no, it is. I definitely did not expect, you know, this to happen. You know, really, TikTok really over the last 3 years really, like, you know, blew me up even more. And then Instagram over the last, like, year and a half. But it's been very, very successful. You know, I definitely went full-time 2 years ago into content creation space, launched a business, a tackle shop online from it and everything as well. So it's been great, man. It's been a big blessing, this whole journey that I've been on.
Hell yeah. Can I ask how old you are? You look young.
Today is my birthday. I'm actually just turned 36 years old.
No way. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
What will you do? What does a fisherman do in a rainy thunderstorm kind of day to celebrate his birthday? You can't go out on the water today, right?
Nah, we went out last night. So me and my bro, Ernie the Hog Snatcher, we went outside last night and celebrated the birthday and caught a couple of nice fish, 35 being the biggest. We caught 35, a couple 20-pounders. And today, I'm just going to be in the house editing this content because, you know, I run a lot of social media platforms and I got to keep it going. So I'm going to use this rainy day to get caught up on content.
I like that. I need you to do me a favor. Tell me Ernie the Hog Snatcher is a nickname about his ability to catch fish and not women.
Yeah, it's definitely his ability to catch fish, bro. He definitely out here. Me and him definitely going crazy in the D.C. area. For sure.
It's wild watching these videos. Like, the bulk of this fishing looks like it's done. Maybe not the bulk, but looking at your Instagram page here at Has Life Fishing, H-A-Z, Life Fishing. Looks like a lot of this is, like, under the Wilson Bridge, right by the Key Bridge. I mean, you got a video here with the Washington Monument right there. Like, you're doing this in D.C.
In D.C. We're literally in the heart of D.C., around the Washington Monument, around the Kennedy Center, you know, up in Georgetown, Woodrow Wilson. All these fish we're catching are right in D.C.
That's crazy, dude. What's your favorite fish to catch? Because I have a rule that I'm not going to eat anything called crappie.
My favorite fish is catfish.
Okay.
The most underrated, overlooked, you know, trash fish that people didn't like. I was like, this is the biggest fish that I can catch in this body of water. It's peel and drag. It's fun as hell. It's super exciting. And for people to see the excitement and joy that it brings me, just, you know, brings a smile to their face. So once I got hooked on the catfish, my first big one, that was it for me. I was like, this is the fish I'm going after.
Have you ever done noodling? Is that where you, like, reach your hand in and just pull the fish out?
I have not done it yet, but I definitely am down to do it. I think me and Ernie are going to plan a trip to go down to, like, Alabama, Tennessee, and get on and do a noodling trip. That's something we definitely want to do for sure. It looks fun as hell.
Can I ask something? And I don't know the right way to phrase this, but, like, looking at your Instagram here and, like, the music playing on some of these videos, you're clearly, like a young man that grew up with hip-hop and are from an urban setting. Do you feel like some of your success as a fishing content creator is that, like, you come at this from a different viewpoint that clearly lots of other people can feel?
Yeah, I feel as though, you know, we came, you know, we came from the hip-hop era, you know, loud, you know, obnoxious, where everybody's always like, you got to be quiet when you're fishing. You got to do this. You got to be this way or look this way. We just kind of did our own thing and, you know, just knocked down the door. You know, they didn't want us in, but we just came through and kicked it in. You know, I'm like, we're going to get here and we're going to have fun. And we got the city behind us and inspiring a lot of people from, you know, from the hood, you know, from less fortunate places and showing them a different outlet. If you can't make it in football, if you can't make it in basketball, you know, there's fishing. You can go out here, pick up a rod. You may not be the most athletic or the fastest or the strongest, but you can get out here and catch a fish and have fun. And there's sports fishing, there's tournament fishing, you know, you can make this your way of life too. So that's what we're here to do.
I love that, man. What I know is the idea that opportunity knocks is a myth for children. No opportunity knocks. You got to kick down doors to make your own opportunities.
You have to kick down the door. No, nobody's going to come looking for you. You got to go looking for it for real.
Now, I do want to let Jeff talk to you because I think what you do matters a lot to Jeff, even though I think Jeff's a terrible fisherman. But one thing I can't help that is a really awesome concept that I see here on your page, when you do these videos where you're asking people that are like jogging by on the Potomac, like, yo, do you want to try the fish that I just caught out of this river?
Yeah.
How do most people, because I mean, I know they've cleaned up the Potomac like crazy. I think I would certainly eat fish out of the Potomac, but I bet a lot of people are pretty damn hesitant.
A lot. There's a very, really big stigmatism. Like, you know, they look at it as D.C., there's a lot of runoff, you know, they don't want to eat it. But we have get some people to eat it, you know. And when they do try it, they love it. But me, it's like, I know where it came from. At the store, I don't know where that fish came from, you know what I'm saying? I don't know where, how it was raised, where it was caught at. I don't know the mercury level or anything like that. This fish was right here, just caught it out the river. I've been eating them. I've been fine. So, you know, we just have fun with it.
Oh, man. I got to be honest, some of these videos you post are kind of gross, man. Like all these eels and stuff, it's not for me. Hey,
that is the number one bait to use in D.C. is these American. They're slimy. They look like a snake, you know. But that's what we use, man. They love them.
That's wild. Jeffrey, I do want to give you an opportunity to say what's up or ask a question.
My question is, because JP is, he's terrified of these fish names. Have you eaten snakehead, and what's your thought on it?
It sounds gross.
Snakehead tastes like chicken, bro. Like, when you know when they say stuff tastes like chicken? No, snakehead, I had it as a taco, as a snakehead taco. I couldn't tell the difference, bro. I said, this is chicken right here. It is very delicious. It's better than catfish. I'll put it up there with rockfish. Like, it's very
really?
Good.
Like, fresh stripers out of the bay?
Yes. I've been trying to tell you.
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
It is a very good fish.
Can me and Jeff come fishing with you, or at least get one
Absolutely.
Of those dope Triple City
Absolutely.
Angler t-shirts?
Yeah, for sure. I'll hook you up Triple City Angler t-shirts, you know, get you guys a ride, and you guys can definitely come out there and catch a sweet doggy with us, man, for sure.
I gotta be honest,
I'm gonna hold you to that.
I am a terrible fisherman. I'm incredibly impatient. I can sit on the banks of the river and drink some beer and throw a hypothetical zin in if that counts as fishing.
Hey, look, we're going to get you on some fish, and it's going to be the most fun that you've ever had in a long time out there, I'll tell you. But that's the one thing that we've been doing a lot this year is taking people out that never go fishing, haven't been fishing in a long time, and it changes their lives. You know, they have a lot of fun with it.
Damn, Ernie the Hog Snatcher's got 600,000 followers on Instagram.
Yes, bro, Ernie...
is a
Ernie
dog.
Started after me, and he took off. Like, he got the algorithm, the content, the editing, and he goes crazy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We can catch the big slobs.
And here's what I can confirm. If Ernie has 600,000 Instagram followers, no problem with the women. It's just the catfish that are hogs.
It's just the catfish that are hogs. That's it.
Hey, Steve, I appreciate you making time for us, man. This has been a blast, and we'll see you on the river.
Absolutely, man. Thank you. I appreciate the invite.
That's awesome, man. You guys keep doing your thing, dude. I love seeing the growth, and I don't know if I'm going to eat snakeheads, though.
Hey, we'll do a catch and cook catfish. All right, we'll do that.
Sounds perfect. Thank you, buddy. Good luck.
All right, take care.
That's awesome. I love this stuff. And, Jeff, I appreciate you bringing stuff to our attention that we otherwise might not see or know about and letting us maybe bring them to a new audience. That is really cool, man. I mean, you talk about creating your own future. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Bishop Finley.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, guys. Anybody that knows me knows I love a good Scotty's Vodka Red Bull. They also know that I trust my guy, Jeff. And I'm not the biggest fisherman, but Jeff loves fishing. And Jeff put me on to this dude, Stephen Fultz. He runs the Has Life Fishing Instagram account. He's a local guy, has all these life hacks for fishing. He's got 380,000 followers on TikTok talking about fishing. Steve joins us now. Dude, thank you for joining us. Bring me up to speed on everything it is you do, because you are obviously immensely successful in this space.
Man, I kind of started like 5 years ago, 6 years ago into fishing. Didn't even fish, you know what I'm saying? Learn how to do it, learning how to content create at the same time. But I found a joy, a happiness in it, you know what I'm saying? It fueled a fire, a passion. And I started seeing success and started getting feedback from people, how I'm inspiring them, getting them to get outside and go fishing. And that just kept me going more and more, you know, learning more and more, trying to figure the sport out, trying to learn these fish and, you know, really take over the sport in the DMV, especially DC. That's where I fish at most.
Yeah, it's crazy the platform you have. Like, I'm looking at some of these fish you're catching. They're bananas. Jeff loves your content. Did you ever think fishing would get you into this type of space where, just judging off these numbers and the little bit I know about Instagram and TikTok, this is probably much more than just a full-time job. This is a pretty nice living.
Yeah, no, it is. I definitely did not expect, you know, this to happen. You know, really, TikTok really over the last 3 years really, like, you know, blew me up even more, and then Instagram over the last like year and a half. But it's been very, very successful. You know, I definitely went full time 2 years ago into content creation space, launched a business, a tackle shop online from it and everything as well. So it's been great, man. It's been a big blessing, this whole journey that I've been on.
Hell yeah. Can I ask how old you are? You look young.
Today is my birthday. I'm actually just turned 36 years old.
No way. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
What will you do? What does a fisherman do in a rainy thunderstorm kind of day to celebrate his birthday? You can't go out on the water today, right?
Nah, we went out last night. So me and my bro, Ernie the Hog Snatcher, we went outside last night and celebrated the birthday and caught a couple nice fish, 35 being the biggest. We caught 35, a couple 20-pounders. And today, I'm just going to be in the house editing this content because, you know, I run a lot of social media platforms and I got to keep it going. So I'm going to use this rainy day to get caught up on content.
I like that. I need you to do me a favor. Tell me Ernie the Hog Snatcher is a nickname about his ability to catch fish and not women.
Yeah, it's definitely his ability to catch fish, bro. He definitely out here. Me and him definitely going crazy in the D.C. area, for sure.
It's wild watching these videos. Like, the bulk of this fishing looks like it's done, and maybe not the bulk, but looking at your Instagram page here at Has Life Fishing, H-A-Z, Life Fishing, looks like a lot of this is, like, under the Wilson Bridge, right by the Key Bridge. I mean, you got a video here with the Washington Monument right there. Like, you're doing this in D.C.
In D.C. We're literally in the heart of D.C., around the Washington Monument, around the Kennedy Center, you know, up in Georgetown, Woodrow Wilson. All these fish we're catching are right in D.C.
That's crazy, dude. What's your favorite fish to catch? Because I have a rule that I'm not going to eat anything called crappy.
My favorite fish is catfish.
Okay.
The most underrated, overlooked, you know, trash fish that people didn't like. I was like, this is the biggest fish that I can catch in this body of water. It's peel and drag. It's fun as hell. It's super exciting. And for people to see the excitement and joy that it brings me, just, you know, brings a smile to their face. So once I got hooked on the catfish, my first big one, that was it for me. I was like, this is the fish I'm going after.
Have you ever done noodling? Is that where you, like, reach your hand in and just pull the fish out?
I have not done it yet, but I definitely am down to do it. I think me and Ernie are going to plan a trip to go down to, like, Alabama, Tennessee, and get on and do a noodling trip. That's something we definitely want to do for sure. It looks fun as hell.
Can I ask something? And I don't know the right way to phrase this, but, like, looking at your Instagram here and, like, the music playing on some of these videos, you're clearly, like a young man that grew up with hip-hop and or from an urban setting. Do you feel like some of your success as a fishing content creator is that, like, you come at this from a different viewpoint that clearly lots of other people can feel?
Yeah, I feel as though, you know, we came from the hip hop era. You know, loud, you know, obnoxious, where everybody's always like, you got to be quiet when you're fishing. You got to do this. You got to be this way or look this way. We just kind of did our own thing and, you know, just knocked down the door. You know, they didn't want us in, but we just came through and kicked it in. You know, I'm like, we're going to get here and we're going to have fun. And we got the city behind us and inspiring a lot of people from, you know, from the hood, you know, from less fortunate places, and showing them a different outlet. If you can't make it in football, if you can't make it in basketball, you know, there's fishing. You can go out here, pick up a rod. You may not be the most athletic or the fastest or the strongest, but you can get out here and catch a fish and have fun. And there's sports fishing, there's tournament fishing. You know, you can make this your way of life too. So that's what we're here to do.
I love that, man. What I know is the idea that opportunity knocks is a myth for children. No opportunity knocks. You got to kick down doors to make your own opportunities.
You have to kick down the door. No, nobody's going to come looking for you. You got to go looking for it for real.
Now, I do want to let Jeff talk to you because I think what you do matters a lot to Jeff, even though I think Jeff's a terrible fisherman. But one thing I can't help that is a really awesome concept that I see here on your page, when you do these videos where you're asking people that are, like, jogging by on the Potomac, like, yo, do you want to try the fish that I just caught out of this river?
Yeah.
How do most people, because, I mean, I know they've cleaned up the Potomac like crazy. I think I would certainly eat fish out of the Potomac, but I bet a lot of people are pretty damn hesitant.
A lot. There's a very, really big stigmatism. Like, you know, they look at it as D.C., there's a lot of runoff, you know, they don't want to eat it. But we have get some people to eat it, you know. When they do try it, they love it. But me, it's like, I know where it came from. At the store, I don't know where that fish came from, you know what I'm saying? I don't know where, how it was raised, where it was caught at. I don't know the mercury level or anything like that. This fish was right here, just caught it off the river. I've been eating them. I've been fine. So, you know, we just have fun with it.
Oh, man. I got to be honest, some of these videos you post are kind of gross, man. Like all these eels and stuff, it's not for me. Hey,
that is the number one bait to use in D.C. is these American. They're slimy. They look like a snake, you know. But that's what we use, man. They love them.
That's wild. Jeffrey, I do want to give you an opportunity to say what's up or ask a question.
My question is, because JP is, he's terrified of these fish names. Have you eaten snakehead, and what's your thought on it?
They sound gross.
Snakehead tastes like chicken, bro. Like, when you know when they say stuff tastes like chicken? No, snakehead, I had it as a taco, as a snakehead taco. I couldn't tell the difference, bro. I said, this is chicken right here. It is very delicious. It's better than catfish. I'll put it up there with rockfish. Like, it's very
really?
Good.
Like, that's fresh it. Stripers out of the bay?
Yes. I've been trying to tell you.
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
It is a very good fish.
Can me and Jeff come fishing with you? Or at least get one of those dope Triple City Angler t-shirts?
Yeah, for sure. I'll hook you up Triple City Angler t-shirts, you know, get you guys a ride. And you guys can definitely come out there and catch a sweet doggy with us, man, for sure.
I got to be honest.
I'm going to hold you to that.
I am a terrible fisherman. I'm incredibly impatient. I can sit on the banks of the river, drink some beer, and throw a hypothetical Zen in if that counts as fishing.
Hey, look, we're going to get you on some fish, and it's going to be the most fun that you've ever had in a long time out there. I'll tell you, that's one thing that we've been doing a lot this year is taking people out that never go fishing, haven't been fishing in a long time, and it changes their lives. You know, they have a lot of fun with it.
Damn, Ernie the Hog Snatcher's got 600,000 followers on Instagram.
Yes, bro, Ernie
is a dog.
Ernie started after me, and he took off. Like, he got the algorithm, the content, the editing, and he goes crazy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We've been catching the slobs.
And here's what I can confirm. If Ernie has 600,000 Instagram followers, no problem with the women. It's just the catfish that are hogs.
Just the catfish that are hogs. That's it.
Hey, Steve, I appreciate you making time for us, man. This has been a blast, and we'll see you on the river.
Absolutely, man. Thank you. I appreciate the invite.
That's awesome, man. You guys keep doing your thing, dude. I love seeing the growth, and I don't know if I'm going to eat snakeheads, though.
Hey, we'll do a catch and cook catfish. All right, we'll do that.
Sounds perfect. Thank you, buddy. Good luck.
All right, take care.
That's awesome. I love this stuff. And, Jeff, I appreciate you bringing stuff to our attention that we otherwise might not see or know about and letting us maybe bring them to a new audience. That is really cool, man. You talk about creating your own future. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Bishop Finley.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh. I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.